I'm pretty sure you don't need a reminder that it's Women's Month, but have you been watching TV lately, listening to the radio or reading publications and paying particular attention to the advertising? And do you see the kind of gender stereotypes that used to exist widely in advertising years ago, but are slightly less common today? There's been quite a lot of academic writing on this. The common belief is that although it's got better, many advertisers still rely on gendered tropes to sell their products. For example, how many brands still use women to sell washing powder or food items, even though there are many men in society these days who wash their own clothes and cook for themselves or their families? So I want to explore this in a bit more detail with CEO of Grey Africa and advertising expert Fran Luckin. Fran, good evening and thank you for joining me. How much less gendered is advertising these days?
So that's a very interesting question, and it is nuanced, right? Because generally you get a brief from the client which describes your target audience, and very often that target audience itself is gendered. So quite often you're told that your primary target audience, for example, is moms. But what you can do in that situation is to acknowledge that women are not necessarily all the same. And so there are women in very, very different situations. I think it's a very interesting phenomenon because you have to appeal to a target audience, but so that you have to appeal to certain human insights, but you don't always have to fall into gender stereotypes to do that.
Right.
We had a very interesting example for our client Gillette a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Obviously, that's a male shaving brand.
Yeah.
But the truth about shaving worldwide is that most young men get their first razor from their father. In this country, though, a lot of young men are actually raised by a female, a single, either a mom or a gran or an aunt. And so we actually did an ad that reflected that. We showed, we paid tribute to a very, very brave woman raising her grandson. And so there's ways, if you have a client who is accepting of your inputs, there's ways to look at things slightly differently. Gillette is a typically male shaving brand, and all over the world, their stance is all about fathers and sons. In this country, however, a lot of men are raised by women, and so we were able to come back to the client, and we had a brave client who said, that's fine, let's reflect that. Let's reflect the reality of that, that most men in this country are raised by either a gran or an aunt, or a mother. And that was really rewarding. And it really resonates with the target audience as well.
Right. I see there are some international advertisers like Nike, for example, that have stepped directly into what some consumers would perceive as the line of controversy by making use of mascots like Caster Semenya, later Caitlyn Jenner as well. Does that kind of advertising pay off, or does it alienate your more conservative consumer?
I think, like with anything, you've got to consider your target market. And you've got to consider your brand identity. So Nike is all about victory. And the Nike brand is very much about no matter who you are, you can be a victor. So Nike, it's in the brand DNA for Nike. The Nike brand DNA is if you've got a body, you're an athlete. And therefore, no matter what you do, you can experience victory. Because Nike has always acknowledged any form of human endeavor. And therefore, it's perfectly natural for Nike to step into that space where it honors all kinds of human endeavor and human heroism. For some brands, they would need to then do some work on their brand identity, because sometimes it just feels like virtue signaling.
Yes, yes.
So you've got to be so careful. You've got to make sure that your brand can deliver on its promises. So Nike has always been about, you're a hero no matter who you are. And therefore, it makes sense when they celebrate, they can do ads for the Paralympics, they can do ads for, because that's what they stand for victory no matter who you are. If you have a brand that, you've actually got to look very carefully at your brand DNA and make sure that you're consistent before you start what I call virtue signaling, you know?
Right. How vocal have consumers become about advertising they feel perpetuates gender stereotypes? And if they're vocal, do advertisers and their brands even listen, Fran?
Yes, they do. They definitely do. I think social media gives us a great lens into what people are thinking now. And I think that most brands are very, very aware of it. And I think, you know, most speaking on behalf of creative people, we don't want to default to the same old advertising tropes, you know. We want to explore different ways of communicating to people. And I think diversity in ad agencies plays a very important role, because you need people from different backgrounds with different life experiences who can say, hey, you know what, like, this is actually how my life experience was. You know, it wasn't the case that we had a mom who always cooked dinner and we came home from school and she was always there. It was different for us. And that's why you need people with different backgrounds and different experiences, which is why diversity is so important in creative departments. You need those stories. And it's important for brands to listen to what their consumer's life is like. What is the daily lived experience for your consumer? What are they going through? What are their pain points? What are their friction points? And then make sure that you solve those, you know. And we've got a great tool now in social media. We can actually listen to what people are saying.
Fran, some beautiful thoughts there, and thank you so much for sharing them with us here on Afternoon Drive. Fran Luckin is the Chief Creative Officer of Grey Africa and an advertising expert.